Hello, gorgeous.
I would make a great queen because I am so stubborn.
Well, when I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better.
Never take a learning opportunity away from another student. No matter how smart you need everyone to think you are.
I am dancing a bright beam of light.
Teen is your family. You have to protect them from those guys, okay?
Make the money. Don't let it make you.
You had me at hello.
And most importantly, you must always have faith in yourself.
This is I'm Here for the Food.
What's up, everybody? This is I'm Here for the Food, where we discuss topics that feed your mind, your spirit, and your soul. I'm Melissa.
I'm Blue.
And we have Sky Marshall sitting third chair. Hey.
Hello.
And today we have two amazing guests that I am so over the moon that we were able to get. This is a post-Valentine's Day episode where we are also going to be celebrating their love in addition to celebrating their storied career and their contribution to society, basically. We've got the Kinseys sitting next to us. Shirley and Bernard Kinsey.
Yay!
Hi, guys!
It's Black History Month and it's Love Month, which is perfect.
Yeah, it's Black History Month and Love Month, so that is why I wanted to have the two of you on as guests. And we can't... Peter, you need to pan down so you get Mr. Kinsey's shoes.
Get all of it.
The coordination here is so impressive.
Oh.
And we're so happy that you could join us. So I wanted to get started with the fact that, you know, you just told us you've been married for 53 years.
Yep, Tuesday.
Tuesday, happy anniversary.
Congratulations.
That's... So this is all, you know, birthday and anniversary.
My birthday was the 7th and anniversary was the 11th.
Your birthday was the 7th. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, happy belated birthday.
Wait, so was your wedding your birthday gift?
Actually, I turned 21. I got the license and we got married that Saturday.
Oh, that's amazing.
Wow.
So you have to double down in February.
Oh, yeah.
You guys like my Valentine's Day gift.
Yeah, right.
That's what I mean. 7, 11, 14. Right, three. Oh, that's incredible.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Well, the two of you seem to be still very much in love, you know, and you're like, please tell us, like, just everyone says, what's the secret? And it can't be just as simple as asking that question. But what, 53 years later?
Shirley will say it's her.
She's the secret sauce.
And there's a lot of truth.
Yeah. I mean, how does that work? Like, what does it mean to be married for 53 years? I mean, we just had an episode, a Galentine's Day episode where we were, you know, crying in our vodka about being single and feeling like we don't have a shot of ever meeting somebody. But you two happen to have found each other where it would be argued that, you know, easily argue your soulmates.
Well, you know, we're both from Florida, went to Florida A&M. And while it's 53 years is a long time, it's really not that unusual. We must have 25 or 30 friends that have been married for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's I don't want to make it a big deal because it is a big deal.
It is.
But the fact of the matter is that I can name all of our Florida A&M friends.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you guys met.
My brother's been married for 54 years, you know, and he went to FAMU.
Wow.
Maybe it's in the water.
So something in the water at FAMU. But, so we're taking a field trip to FAMU. You know, nice.
So, okay. So I want to say that the right way, but the real, I think, one of the things that I contributed to is that we decided 53 years ago, we moved on Crenshaw, our first apartment.
6211
10th Avenue.
Oh, you still remember?
And used furniture, used car, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we just decided that first of all, you got to be committed to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, my mom and dad had been married 63 years before he passed. And I could see even when my dad was on his deathbed, how much love he had for my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's commitment and it's really staying the course.
Mm-hmm.
My mom has a saying that the grass is not only not greener. How do you say?
The grass may seem greener on the other side, but it still has to be cut.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yes.
You know, oh. So you don't go.
I think I'm going to use that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to use that.
So a lot of people are running around looking for something that they may already have. Mm-hmm. And we have a friend that we buried yesterday that they've been divorced 35 years, and it really one of the worst decisions he made.
Really?
Was leaving his wife.
Yeah.
And he would tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we say is that, you know, it's not always everything, although we rarely have arguments, you know. Well, I mean, it's just not something.
For me, I always say you have to have shared values.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to aspire to and want to do some of the, a lot of the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Not always at the same time, but you want to do those same things. One of the things Bernard's mother used to always say, and she would say it to me and his brother's wife.
Mm-hmm.
It was five in his family, two boys, two first boys, and then three girls. And so she would say to Penny and me, she said, you know, I always told my daughters to marry a man who loves you just a little bit more than you love
My mom said that to me all the time.
My mom said the same thing.
My mother says the
same
thing.
I think all of us have had a mother figure in our lives that has said those same words.
Well, then she would say, my daughters didn't seem to learn that, but I think my daughter-in-laws did.
Right.
Because we're the ones, he and his brother, the ones that have been married the longest.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, the sisters didn't do it quite as well.
Okay, well, everybody loves a meet cute story. So, you know, you met at Florida A&M University. What happened? Did you see her across the campus? Did you share a class with each other?
Kind of all of the above. 1963.
Mm-hmm.
She was a freshman.
I was a junior.
17 years old.
She had just, she was arrested during the civil rights period.
Oh, wait. This took a turn.
Yeah.
Why is someone always getting arrested on the show?
I love this story already.
I'm so invested.
So she come, I mean, one of the things that people, maybe even your generation, don't understand, that this whole civil rights thing was serious back in the 60s, and it took a lot of work. And black colleges the one that did it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't UCLA and USC. It was black colleges.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Shirley, her mom told her not to do it. And that was the first thing she did was go to jail in a brand new dress that her mom had made for her. And
to dressed up to go.
Yeah, absolutely. The mugshot has to
and
be
she
right.
Had to throw it away. She had to throw it away because
I had to wear it for 3 days. And
yeah,
it was
you should have wore jeans. But, I mean, here's... she's always been, I always say she's always the prettiest girl in the room.
So, oh my gosh.
So
I'm melting right now.
If you get that and then she's has this courage, I mean, and fortitude. I mean, you think about walking into jail with, you got 6'4", you know, policemen with Billy's. I mean, this is really.
It was serious.
This wasn't like, we're just going to go, because you didn't know when you were going to get out.
Right.
You know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But also at 17, you know, you're doing all of that, and you really don't think you're going to be the one it's going to happen to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You don't think there are going to be some other people that get arrested, but you're not. You know, you just don't think that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, it's a rude awakening.
I have a question about your moxie. Mm-hmm. That's an old school word, but I love that word.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us watched the Huxtables, and we saw the Claire and the Heath, and it was a spirited woman who found a good man, and we all dreamed about having that, right? Because we're all very spirited women.
Mm-hmm,
I think
mm-hmm.
I'm speaking for all three of us.
Yeah.
And I've always thought about, like, do spirited women get to find long-term love, right? And in my mind, it's always been, if you find somebody who appreciates your passion and your purpose, then it gets a little bit easier. It's very clear that at 17, you already had a purpose.
And
a lot of passion, clearly walking in that pretty dress into the jailhouse. I guess my question to you guys is, I was reading your website and looking at all the beautiful pictures of the art. It says that you guys have this passion for dispelling the myth of absence through art. And so clearly art is a shared purpose for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if we could, like, touch on how that came about, because the couple that plays together and works together stays together from what I'm watching.
Well, let's see, how can I say this in a short way? But two things. One, Bernard and I, when we got married, we decided we were not going to have children right away. So we waited 10 years before we had our son.
Smart.
Okay. We also decided we were going to live on one salary.
Mm-hmm.
I was working, he was working. We were going to live on one salary and save the other. And we did that, and we invested early. We traveled early, and in our travels, we found that we were always interested in indigenous cultures wherever we went. He had been a park ranger the summer of 65 at the Grand Canyon, helped integrate the Park Service area there. he and his best friend. But our son was born in 77. And we were, as I said, collecting all these images and things that learning about other cultures. We didn't know enough about our own. Mm-hmm. And when he was born, it was right about 2 weeks after Roots had been on TV. Mm-hmm. Back in those days, that was before y'all were born, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of hit us. Like, you know, we need to know more about who we are.
We need to double down.
We actually left Florida saying we're leaving all that behind. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting away from all the stuff
Jim
there.
Jim Crow
and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so he was born. And then about third grade, he had a family history report. And he came home talking about the kids could go back to the Mayflower mm-hmm. and to Italy and to Canada mm-hmm. and to all these places. And where could we go back to? And all we could do was call back to Florida and ask questions mm-hmm. yeah. because our parents didn't really tell us all that much either. Right. You know, my grandmother raised me and she didn't talk about slavery at all, even though her parents had to have been enslaved.
Wow,
you know?
Yeah. Wow.
And so I decided then that, and this is nothing against Johnson Publishing, but I decided then that Ebony and Jet was not enough. That we had to not just have those magazines mm-hmm. come into the house. We had to do more. And we had always been interested in art. We'd met some artists, and we would do art exhibits at the house for them to introduce them to our friends and all that kind of stuff. Bernard's the historian, actually, in the family. But when Khalil had started doing these reports, so we said, okay, fine, you've got to find. Anybody you talk about has got to be black. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you need to know, and you need to teach someone else. He did a report on Ben Carson. When he was the top surgeon.
Right, yeah. When, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That age well?
Yes. And so I think I still have it somewhere. He's always said, Ma, you can get rid of that.
It's probably the last time that Ben Carson was spoken about favorably. Yeah. But,
right.
Yeah.
Burn after reading.
He just lost his way. But,
and yeah. just lost and his things way. Just yeah. grew from there, to be honest with you. Bernard, you might say about the item that was sent to you yeah. that really kind of spurred you to... To do the historical
15,
stuff more.
20 years ago, a business partner in Florida sent me, well, we were on the phone. He said, Bernard, I got this document that's been, it was in my aunt's house in Alabama mm-hmm. that's been boarded up since 1957. Mm-hmm. So I immediately knew that it was probably something to do with slavery. Mm-hmm. And he said, so I said, Wally, just send me the document. Mm-hmm. So he sent it to me. And the FedEx came. And I'll never forget when I opened the document and pulled the paper out. It was from 1832.
Wow.
And it was this young brother being sold for $500.
Oh, my goodness.
In Alabama. And it just.
He said he felt like he had chills.
Yeah, it felt like I was holding him
history.
In my hand.
Right.
And I also, that informed me. I wanted to know that how did black people get in this predicament mm-hmm. in America? And I began this quest mm-hmm. to uncover the stories of accomplishment and achievement that black people have done in building America. Mm-hmm. And it has since grown from Patagonia to Canada. We love Canadians because Canada was the only country in the Western Hemisphere that did not have slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, and we see... Even Canadians are just have a different sensibility.
Yeah, we are extraordinarily pragmatic people. Yes,
than Americans, mm-hmm. and it's because you don't have this yoke called racism. I mean, you have racism, but
yes.
you don't have.
But it's not
you don't
like,
have the vestiges of slavery
exactly
that permeate the American society, mm-hmm. and much of it is in Central America and in South America. Mm-hmm. We're going to Bogota on Saturday night. Ooh, as nice. Guests of the U.S. Embassy. And it's the third largest black population outside of Africa. Mm-hmm. And so there are black people everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Brazil's just, number two, I think.
Yeah, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they want us to do with the Kinsey Collection is to do an exhibit there in August to talk about the African-American story mm-hmm. to symbolize what Afro-Colombians mm-hmm. have to do, because to be frank with you, they are way behind mm-hmm. in right. their consciousness about mm-hmm. what is possible in terms of their freedom. We have a saying that we have freedom, but we don't have equality. And that's what we got in 1865. Mm-hmm. So the idea is to really to deal more with the equality piece. Mm-hmm. The myth of absence specifically says that we as black people are invisibly present. Sit on that for a second.
Right.
So oh my goodness. When you're invisibly present, that means you are in the room, but you really don't have any agency.
Right.
You really, it's like going to the prom. Our son Khalil says it. He said, Dad, it's like going to the prom and everybody takes this group shot and then all the black people get photoshopped
out.
Wow. So when you get the picture, you know you were there, you know everybody that was there, but you can't prove it. And that's what happens every day in America. Every black person walks around with this hole in their heart, trying to figure out, who am I and where did I come from? So the Kinsey family, the Kinsey Collection, speaks to that, or trying to plug that hole that each of you have. And it's the hole that keeps us from being equal in this country, because we don't have the vocabulary to be able to articulate who we are and where we came from, because we don't know.
Yeah.
Now, are we getting at it?
No, yeah, absolutely. Okay.
My heart is full. I love everything about
it. I know. That was so story time.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm just, mesmerized.
It's very rare that we're this quiet.
Okay. It's very rare. You heard us in here yelling earlier.
I do have a question I wanted to ask, because I read that your initial goal was to visit 100 countries. And since you have been together since you were 17, I would imagine that you all visited Africa for the first time together. Yeah. What was that experience like?
We haven't been to West Africa. And so that is, we've been to maybe 103, 104 countries.
Oh, nice.
We just came back from Cape Town, Zanzibar.
Wow.
Zanzibar. How about Zanzibar? Because that's on my list.
That's on my list, too.
Go.
It is absolutely.
It's just, it's black folks. It's that with the Arab influence. European, all in a place called Stone Town.
Oh, nice.
And
Indian.
Mm-hmm. So it's just all these cultures just operating together.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Is it right romantic? Because I want to go there on a vacation.
On the Indian Ocean.
Small.
Very small.
I said one of the things I enjoyed about it was, you know how when you're places and they're vendors and they're trying to sell you stuff and you don't buy anything, they get upset with you and they Sister, I'll see you tomorrow.
It was lovely.
It's just lovely. Yeah. Lovely.
If you end up in Zanzibar, then you know Indian Ocean. Yeah. You can just hop on over to Seychelles, and it's awesome.
Yeah. If y'all see me in Zanzibar with my bae with their face blurred out, you know it's because of you guys.
So, question: I wanted to talk a little bit more about legacy, and in terms of African Americans wanting to get closer to understanding where they actually came from. A story that I tell a lot of people, having been from Canada, I could never quite articulate, like you just did, why I did not understand the concept of racism, you know, growing up. My father's black, my mother's white. I come from the most liberal city in the entire world, practically. And so when I came to the US, it's not like I was taught about slavery. I understood it, but I didn't get it. And so every time I tried to explain how confused I was by racism in the concept of slavery, black people looked at me like I was insane. They looked at me like they treated me like I was a traitor, like I was stupid. But it's something that.
But you're just coming from a different. The reality is, because we travel so much, we have a perspective that few people have.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we were in Shanghai and Seoul, Korea in November.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Papagoa, Costa Rica last week.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Bogota tomorrow. In March, we're in Italy. You follow me? In May, we're at Cabo.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
In
July,
we're
in the Baltics.
I can carry bags.
No, I mean, it's just the way we live.
Right.
Yeah. So we have a saying that a lot of people wanted to, follow the Joneses, we became the Joneses.
Yes. No, you really are.
She better flex. Yes. I love that moment.
And we became the Joneses because we followed our own North Star.
Right. Really, did. Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you a little bit about legacy because.
I'm going to get it. I can go right to it.
I was going to reference the year of the return in Ghana and how it seemed like, and how, you know, in comparison to when I first came here and I didn't really kind of feel like people were very interested in knowing how far back their actual history went.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's so in vogue to talk about ancestry. You know, we've got all these DNA
tests,
you know, tests that we can take. That's a good thing. And so now everybody is really interested. And so gone and marketed the Year of the Return. Right. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, how you kind of feel about that whole thing in regards to your lifelong legacy of letting Black, like informing Black people of their history through art.
Here's the concept. The myth of absence, and what operates in America is your skin speaks before you do. Mm-hmm. So if you sit on that for a little while, it says everything you want to know. Mm-hmm. And not just for Black folks. It speaks for everybody in America, mm-hmm. because this racism is gradated. You follow me? Our Egyptian friends, they don't want to be Black until they are Black, mm-hmm. because they get stopped like we get stopped.
Right.
You follow me? Mm-hmm. So the reality is that this country is the only place in the world that color is the predominant perception, racial profiling. That's what that really is. Mm-hmm. For everything that people do in this country. So people, you know, when people tell me that they're colorblind, I say, you got to be kidding. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what kind of clothes you got on. You know what kind of colors you got. So you got to recognize these differences. And because of your skin speaks before you do, it has been ingrained since before the Constitution. Mm-hmm. We put in structural racism into this country. So we talk about equality and the Bill of Rights and freedom for all. But the fact of the matter is that everybody but John Adams own people that signed the Declaration of Independence.
Talk about it.
You see, so the hypocrisy built into that document, mm-hmm. is what we deal with every day. So what the average young Black person, particularly a Black male, deals with in Los Angeles is this idea of negotiating a country that they don't understand the rules, mm-hmm. because they're taught on one level that is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Right.
But everything they do speaks to a whole different way of life.
Right.
And this system is predicated on sucking up our young Black boys, particularly, mm-hmm. into a system, mm-hmm. that they're never going to get out of. Mm-hmm. And it hurts me to my heart. And this is our contribution to try and add the narrative that people will be able to have a vocabulary to be able to speak to it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Beautiful. I love that. And we were talking about the disparity between men and women, like with the whole month of love, right? And the whole thing about Black women, there's like one of us for every, like, mm-hmm. I mean, there's one available man. Black man for like every 30 of us. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to that though, right?
Yeah, because they're all in jail.
Exactly. Yes. People don't understand that, yeah. it's not because that there's just no Black men. It's like, no, they're just locked up somewhere.
They're either there,
and
they
now we're looking for love.
You
and
got a degree, they don't have a degree. You know, we got all these beautiful Black nieces with degrees and good jobs and can't find a man.
Oh, welcome, yeah. to
so,
my life.
I mean, this is not
same.
Like,
that's same.
This is not
and
like nieces. We don't understand
adopt us.
Yeah. But and if you put 2.3 million Black men in jail, right. and then another 3.5 million in the justice system, in other words, probation, felonies, yes. and all of this stuff, mm-hmm. guess what? A lot of that eligibility goes out the window.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And thank I don't you. Blame you, mm-hmm. because we tell them all the time, don't settle.
Right.
Don't just marry, mm-hmm. because you're going to be unhappy.
Absolutely.
With mm-hmm. someone that is not on the same trajectory that you are.
That you don't have absolutely. Those shared values yeah. with.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy that you said that, because it is extraordinarily difficult to get men, especially Black men, to admit that it is scarcity. It's not the fact that there is no good Black men. They're just mm-hmm. not there physically. There yeah. is a scarcity. And like you said, you have a bunch of nieces yeah. who are accomplished, beautiful women who it has nothing to do with mm-hmm. us, but the onus always seems to fall on us, you know, as to mm-hmm. not being able to find a good man. So I've been a huge proponent of telling my girlfriends, mm-hmm. if you're looking for love, you might have to stop being so race loyal yeah, yeah. and look outside.
Well,
now. That's just the reality of the situation.
And I really...
Some of the nieces are doing that, mm-hmm. I must say.
We have a niece that married yeah. a Florentine.
Yeah, she lives in Italy now. Florida A&M graduate.
She mm-hmm. lives in Florence.
Went there on her intern. Yeah. Met him. They stayed friends for 10 years. They would meet up in cities because they both love to travel, mm-hmm. and eventually decided they were in love. Right. Got married 10 years ago.
So we ain't mad at them. So, yeah. I mean, that's, I mean, it happens. Yeah,
but what's interesting though is he's not American.
Mm-hmm.
He's Italian.
Because he doesn't come at it. The Italians don't come at it like American whites.
Mm-hmm.
American whites come at it purely on a racial standpoint.
Right.
Now they may get over it,
mm-hmm.
but the fact of the matter is the beginning of it is that. Now I'll just tell you how it works.
Yeah, right.
For anybody that is white in this country,
mm-hmm.
and they can go to quote an all black event.
Mm-hmm.
and feel comfortable, mm-hmm. I say they figured it out.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay?
Most, how many times are you there and you're the only one sometimes?
Yeah. Right. Most white daily. People are very uncomfortable when they're the minority in a group.
Mm-hmm.
But true. We are a minority all the time in their groups. Mm-hmm. And we figured it out mm-hmm. because we are bidialectal. So we know how to operate in all kinds of environments. So what we say is white people have to understand our story, too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay? Yeah. I'm not going to be your black experience all the time. In other words, I'm trying to bring you up to date on what the hell's going on in this country.
I'm about to be your only black experience.
Yeah.
the one thing our son always says is, if I know all the positive things about your history and all that you know about my history is negative, we're never going to have an eye-to-eye relationship.
Yep.
Oh, that's exactly. So good.
Learn about my history also and learn all the good things that we did
mm-hmm.
to build this country. He used to say that Black History Month, he and his guys used to always say, you know, here we go, Mrs. Parks, Dr. King,
Harrington.
And you begin to feel that nobody else did anything.
Mm-hmm.
There was never anybody else in your ancestry that did anything. I call it our collective ancestry because mm-hmm. they're not my blood relatives, but they're all my collective people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always said that I wanted our exhibit to our collection to inspire, motivate, and educate and take whatever that is for you out mm-hmm. of that. Because it's the other thing Khalil talks about. He says once he learned, and we got him involved with us because when we did this book, mm-hmm. He's a writer, and I told him I needed him to work with the editor to mm-hmm. really make sure she stayed with how we were talking.
Yeah.
She changed things around and all, so he had to read everything. Even though he'd grown up with a lot of this, he was taking it for granted.
Yeah. You know?
His friends would come over, and Bernard would give him a history lesson, and they wouldn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
They want to come back and bring their friends and all.
You were very mm-hmm. loquacious.
Yeah.
We could listen to you talk all day long.
Yes, you can. That's all the end of it.
So much. Oh my gosh.
But Khalil would say that I started with him. Oh, he would say that
when the kids came to the house,
yeah. And then they'd go on to college and they'd want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 4th of July and New Year's at our house was always where his friends came.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they always would bring more kids
up,
around
we
with
saw
them.
Them grow up,
right.
You know.
Exactly,
now they got
exactly.
kids and careers and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a concept called the myth of absence and the three P's.
Mm-hmm.
The three P's is prejudice,
mm-hmm.
that means racial profiling,
mm-hmm.
okay? Power, right. That means the state, Los Angeles, LAPD, sheriff, you know, whoever. CHP, whoever it is,
mm-hmm.
can enforce the prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is privilege. And privilege is an entitlement that white people enjoy whether they like it or not.
In they don't words, like to hear about
you
that,
know,
though.
Yeah. Well, but they got to hear it.
No, I
you
know.
Yeah. And we share it. And we say privilege is like being born on third base and mm-hmm. thinking you hit a triple.
Oh, wow. Me?
Exactly.
So the fact of the matter is that people, white people think that everything they did it because of hard work and perseverance.
Mm.
But they had a head start.
Right.
They were on third base to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? So the differential in black wealth and white wealth is white people own $105,000 on average, mm-hmm. and we own less than 10.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be geniuses
literally.
To be that stupid
mm-hmm.
to be only 10% of this wealth and all the contributions we made.
Mm-hmm.
So the systemic racism, the structural racism of America has always been, you know, this hand on the scale.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
When instead of it being blindfolded, there was one eye open.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? And that's why we have so much disparity. The last financial crisis in 2008-2009,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
black people and Latinos lost home at a 58% rate higher than whites.
Wow.
So people that had struggled to get into the middle class,
mm-hmm.
by the time they got there, they slip back.
Yeah.
And many of them have never been. And the homeless population in L.A. and around the country is coming out of that population
mm-hmm.
that at one point were solid middle class black folks and Latinos. Mm-hmm. And because of the financial crisis, which was really manufactured by the banks, mm-hmm. nobody went to jail. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. No.
We got people that, so home ownership in America was at the highest around 63-64%. It's in the 50s now. Mm-hmm. Because black people and Latinos don't participate in mm-hmm. housing like we did prior to that.
Right.
So there are just so many different areas that are all, and don't even talk about the administration and some of the policies.
No, we're not going to do that. My blood pressure, I didn't take my pill today, so I can't do Trump.
But you can't have an interview talking about the structural issues in this country
right.
and not deal with, you know, the administration when they do a $1.7 trillion tax cut for the wealthy, literally. Mm-hmm. You follow me? And now want to cut Social Security. Now I want to cut Medicare and Medicaid. So you and you got to ask, why do people on food stamps not have some agency like we do with farmers?
Right.
We gave the farmers $28 billion mm-hmm. when we had a trade war that Trump manufactured. Mm-hmm. $28 billion, they wrote checks and gave it to them. But they are taking money out of people with food stamps. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have a problem with farmers. No, let me finish. I don't have a problem with farmers. Right, yeah. I don't have a problem with farmers receiving because they got hurt. Mm-hmm. But why is it that the most vulnerable population in this country, people on food stamps, particularly single mothers,
right?
You follow me? Mm-hmm. Are being looked at as they're getting something they didn't earn.
Right.
You see what I mean? And that's this prism of the three P's.
Yes.
That's operating in this
I have
country.
A question about wow. the three P's in particular that's coming from Melissa. Mm. Melissa said, when you mentioned about privilege, she said they don't want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And it always strikes me when people mention privilege because privilege is the luxury of not knowing. Mm-hmm. If you are privileged, you have the luxury of not knowing a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so by making someone knowledgeable of their privilege, you're literally putting an asterisk next to the thing that they're benefiting from. Like, they like not having to think about all this stuff. And what I love about what you guys are doing is two-pronged. Number one, I'm Afro-Latina. And so like when I hear that you're in Colombia, and you're talking about how black and brown overlap, like from a personal standpoint, mm-hmm. my heart swells because the racism in Latin America and in my community is
vicious.
It's vicious. And we're way behind mm-hmm. the African American.
60 years behind.
Yeah, we're way behind the African American community. So even though people think I'm African American, mm-hmm. I was not born here. Yeah. And so a lot of times I'm like, yo, can we just get to where you guys are? Because we're so far behind.
Man, square.
What we're doing.
My mom's from Haiti. My dad's from Cuba. Okay. So we got it back. So between Haiti and the Dominican Republic and then Cuba, like it's personal for me. Right. Yeah. But one of the things that's brilliant about the way that you guys use art and history, by the way, two of my favorite things. So if my husband's watching this, this is what I want us to do someday. but like the thing I like about what you're doing is you're making it people understand that they're instead of judging a symptom, to look at the root cause. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times when we judge, why are all these black men in jail?
Yeah.
Or why can't these people pull themselves by their bootstraps?
Right.
It's because of a lack of historical knowledge mm-hmm. about the systemic things that created this problem. And they're just living out a symptom, but the root cause is the real issue. Right. And I think there's healing what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. Because once black people and brown people and white people
who
need to know about their privilege,
need to be in this discussion.
Once they realize the root cause, it becomes a whole lot harder to dehumanize all these symptoms walking around in black bodies trying to do their best to be geniuses just to like break even. So I just want to thank you for taking the teeth out of a topic that can sometimes feel a little bit judgmental.
Yeah, it does.
Well, we've been to 31 cities around the world. We've had 15 million people see the Kinsey Collection.
Wow.
We know this subject.
Mm-hmm. And we were tested like it
in Chinese and Spanish. Mm-hmm. You follow me? Because the Kinsey Collection has been translated in those two languages. Mm-hmm. So we understand this, and we understand it totally.
But I always like to say, I always like to say that I want your audience to know, and especially young people watching, mm-hmm. is that we didn't start out for this to be what this is. Mm-hmm. We were doing it for our personal knowledge.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. we had that hope.
To enrich your own life.
We need to do it. Mm-hmm. And we wanted our son to know. Mm-hmm. The other part about it is it's not about having money and buying stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's where we decided to put our funds.
Our resources.
We drove, I just got rid of a 20-year-old car. Mm-hmm. I had a Mercedes, lasted 20 years, had an Audi, whatever I had, lasted for 20 years. And we decided to travel, our family, and art and history was where we wanted to put our that's where we,
So, so you had to decide where you wanted to spend.
We didn't inherit anything, didn't inherit money, didn't inherit any of this information. It was a few pieces. I always also want you to understand that you should try and find out your own personal history, too, okay? I found things. I found I had an uncle who, great-great-grandfather who voted in 1867, which, of course, had I not been trying to do this stuff, I never would have, you know, known that because nobody ever talked about that stuff.
Right.
Bernard's been doing a lot on with his history. Our son, as I said about him, with him working with the book, he says, and he talks to young people about this, he says, you know, once I really understood all this stuff, he said, I find myself standing taller. I feel more powerful. I project myself a different way because I know where I came from. Mm-hmm. I know the strength that lies inside of me, you know, and that really propels it forward.
It's interesting that you say that. I was dating a man from Ghana not too long ago. And in comparison to other men that black men that I've dated from this country, I noticed a sense of groundedness in this man because he knew where he was. He was from Ghana. Yeah. He knows his physical ancestry, like as it relates to, you know, his lineage and the people that were like, you know, 300-400 years in his past. Yeah. And he walks tall. Yeah. He walks with his feet connected to the floor. It's like, he, you know, in comparison to African-American men that I've dated in this country, they seem to just have this kind of flimsiness to their, you know, like knowledge of self.
It's the hole in their heart.
It's the hole in the heart. And it always made me really, really sad, honestly. You know, so I would encourage our audience to research the Kinsey Collection. For anybody in the LA area, or how do, besides the books, which I believe
we need more of you.
feature the entire collection and your personal story, and we'll put a link to the Kinsey Collection, your website.
Good.
How can people see it on display? Like,
it's right now at the African American Museum in Dallas.
Okay.
Through March 1st.
Okay.
Which doesn't give people a lot of time, but we have 203 pieces, beginning in 1595. So while Ghana is celebrating the 400-year anniversary and 1619 is being celebrated, none of that's true.
Really?
No, because there have been black folks in this country.
Since before.
They picked a date.
Yes. They had to just pick a date. Yeah, they had to pick a date.
Like Christmas. They pick a date.
I understand.
But we have the documents. We have a document of an African-American girl named Estebana being baptized in St. Augustine, Florida, Shirley's hometown, in 1595. We have another document from 1598 of an African-American couple being married in St. Augustine. Their names are Augustine and Francisca. So, and we have another document from 1606 with an African-American boy named Augustine being baptized. So, Jamestown was founded in 1607. So when people say that that's where, and black people came in 1619 and that's when slavery started, it's not true either. You follow me? So what we say simply is that what we've done, we operated on two principles. The principle of FACT, facts. You follow me? Facts matter. Okay? Opinion you can have, but facts you can't.
You sound like me. I love you.
And then the second one is the concept of learn, use, teach. Learn something, use it, teach somebody else. That's what the Kinsey Collection does. And we simply say it's the only art and history book you should ever have because it's the only one black people are in.
Right.
Because most of the other them, they just skim the surface. Yeah, you can get an art book and they got a Charles White or an Alma Thomas or Romare Bearden, and we have those too. But what we do is go back to 1865 in that book and have paintings of black people that painted in 1865. Robert Scott Duckinson. He went on to Paris and won the first award of anybody from America in Paris. His paintings are hung today in Buckingham Palace. And and the Queen of Norway.
Wow.
Black man. 1865, you never heard of.
No.
Myth of Absence. myth of abstinence. So what we so when you see it in the book, you're gonna say, you can't make this stuff up. Mm-hmm. 1876, Edward Mitchell Bannister won the highest award for art in America for his painting Under the Oaks. Mm-hmm. And as a black man, they said, you couldn't possibly have done it.
They didn't believe it.
So he had to paint it over, then they gave him his award.
Wow.
So all of these people, it's this notion of the myth of abstinence, is going to a graveyard and no headstones. Yeah. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's where our people are. They are buried, and all their accomplishments went with it. And what we're trying to do is to dig it up, give them a personality, a voice, and a name. You follow me? Because when you do, you stand tall. Okay?
She loves you. The whole time you were talking, she was like, there was like bursts of sunlight and hearts.
There's like these invisible pom-poms.
I have to say this right quick. I wore this today, especially. I had not had it on a long time because the chain that came with it is broken. But anyway, I found it. This is an ounce of gold given to me for our eighth anniversary.
Wow.
I think it was. And it was right here, you know where Yamashiro's is?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know where the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
We were there.
Yeah. And the only surprise I've ever done. But I had the magician to come out and have this piece of gold, which I had designed. Yeah. And then our names
It says 10Z. The Z's backwards always.
Yeah, it's Armenian Z. So they come in, and surely it has no idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what's going on. And the guy tells her to pick.
Yeah, you know, the cup thing. Yeah.
The cup thing, and then under there, that's the piece.
That's incredible. That's so thoughtful.
That's a pretty special piece. I wish I could come up with that more often.
Yeah.
Engraved with our initials on each side, and then after my son, I put his initials on the bottom here.
Oh, that's amazing.
He's always asking me, Mom, when are you going to give that to me? I want to wear that. I said, no. You're not wearing it?
It's an incredibly beautiful
piece. My final question is, can I come for Thanksgiving?
Adopt us.
I really just want to have a lot of nieces.
I like history.
I feel like
we could talk about
stuff. I can send the adoption papers.
Yeah.
You can just
No, we were over the moon that you guys were able to join us, and that and we will probably be your biggest cheerleaders moving forward. We're going to be talking about the Kinsey Collection, advising everybody to purchase the books and learn their history.
On the website, yes, you can find that.
Your real history.
Your real history, exactly. Right. And it's just, first of all.
But this is a big story.
No, it is.
And we just, you know, we just kind of skimmed it. And the reason we wanted to do this is because we know that there's so many of our young people that need to hear this.
Yes.
You follow me?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And if it helps one change their trajectory, that's what we want to do.
I started this show because, you know, I was, you know, just surveying the scene of just podcasts that were coming out and shows and listening to the content. And none of it was serving my soul. It was all, you know, just entertainment driven, gossip driven. And I did not want, if I'm going to have a legacy, small contribution to this world, I wanted it to be very purposeful. And I wanted to introduce the audience that cares to follow me to people who are like-minded, that are, whose legacy is as thoughtful as yours. And something that is, you know, it's feeding your soul, you know, art, history. This is quiet, but it's substantial. You know, it's like it sets up the groundwork for, you know, just a personal understanding of like who you are, where you come from. Yeah. And it's also just a pleasure to see just you swoon for your husband. And
really, seriously,
love,
like I'm getting so fed from this. Still,
you are 53 years later. It gives
we're friends
us hope.
Too. We have good.
Yeah, we
got to.
I mean, this
got to be friends first because sometimes you don't get each other's
a good deal.
Yeah,
you know, I love it. I mean, it's a good deal because we have. Yeah. I mean, we just been on this track for so long that, and I think one of the things we do the best, we are so decisional. Mm-hmm. We make good decisions.
You must not be a Libra then.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, we make good
decisions. Okay. It makes all the sense in the world.
You should have started with that. Yeah. You were born making decisions when you came out.
Yes.
Like, man, that's my diaper right there.
When you make
and you're an Aquarius.
I'm Aquarius.
Right. Yeah. Oh, passion and purpose. Oh, that's perfect.
So we have a, our two principles are: to whom much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's why, you know, over the past 30 years, we've raised or given away about $30 million to black colleges.
Wow.
And the second one, a life of no regrets. Mm-hmm. So the idea really is, if you stay in the present tense, mm-hmm. listen to me good, you'll make better decisions. Mm-hmm. When you leave the present tense, that's when you're almost assuredly going to make a bad decision. And you will be regretful of it. Okay?
Okay. I'm going to live with that.
So sit on that.
That was a word. Okay. We are all sit on that one.
Yeah.
That was a word.
Because past and future has really been stressing me out, but stay in the present.
For you, particularly with your mother.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And when you leave that mm-hmm. present tense, you really forget how you can shape what you're doing today.
Yeah.
And oftentimes when you come back to it, it's in worse shape than if you just stayed with it.
But you left it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're Thank absolutely you for right.
That. That's I needed that. Honestly.
Okay.
Yeah, this has definitely fed my soul, my spirit, you know, my mind. I can't thank you both enough for stopping by. I know that you've got to go because you got to battle this LA traffic. It is horrible.
Yeah.
I wish I could, you know, click my heels and get you to the, you know, get you there faster, but I'm just going to, you know, bid you adieu and thank you so much for coming by.
I'm so grateful.
I would encourage you all to research the Kinsey Collection, their love story and their love of art, their legacy.
And their love of us. You love each other and you love black people. Yeah, exactly. I'm all for it.
He always says if he leaves, he would always come back as a black man.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is so wonderful. And thank you so much to my good friend Sky Marshall for dropping by as well.
I know, this is amazing.
Exactly.
This is
you guys can find the show YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and iHeart. Goodbye, everybody.
If you like our show and the content we're featuring, please hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, and just like your Uber driver asks, leave us a 5-star rating. Also, please leave us a review about your favorite part of the show or your number one takeaway from the episode. We read all the reviews, and this will only help us curate the content that you want to see and hear. Thanks, guys.